organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Minutes after the hour of 5. Let me tell you something. This song so fits the reaction of the mayors of New York City and Philadelphia, who both have joined in a class action suit along with some other cities because they are suing Big Pharma. That's right, here on the drive home at 5, I would say I am probably an expert on opioids, having been on them, prescribed for 2 years, as I suffered through bouts of colitis, ileitis, and then the chronic Crohn's disease that forced me to have an operation back on December 13th, an 8-hour operation. And then I was pumped full of fentanyl and morphine, and then had fentanyl patches as I was released to be able to recover. And I thank Big Pharma for having created those opioids, those painkillers, because I could not have survived 2 years of doing these broadcasts two a day. I would have been in a fetal position, crying, screaming in pain. And so it benefited me. It has benefited others. But on behalf of the city of Philadelphia and New York City, the mayors have decided to sue Big Pharma, saying they are the pushers. They have created the junkies. Yet, on the very same day, they have both announced out of the mayor's office that they want to experiment with injection clinics. Now, what this is a takeoff on what has been done in Vancouver, British Columbia, and Western Canada, where if you're a dope fiend, you're a heroin user, you buy your dope outside on the streets, illegally, from a dealer, $5 bag, $10 bag. You go to the injection center, you check in, and then a nurse straps you in on the gurney. She injects the heroin into your veins, giving you a clean needle, and then you go out and about stealing anything you can get your hands on so you can get another fix and come back to the injection center. Now, I'm saying to myself, hold on. You're blaming Big Pharma for creating addicts, claiming they're the pusher man, but you're going to create these injection centers because you don't want to spread the AIDS virus, and obviously hepatitis C. I understand that. You want to distribute clean needles. You want to make sure that the right veins are being injected into. I get all of that. But then you're not even going to provide the heroin or sell the junkies the heroin. You're going to let the dope dealers do it outside. So try to figure that one out. We'll certainly be talking about that more tomorrow from 12 to 3 and in subsequent drive home at 5. But the other big issue, in fact, it shocked quite a few, have been the ongoing meetings that have been taking place by parents and students at New Rochelle High School in Westchester because of a series of stabbings that have taken place amongst the student population. In fact, the most egregious, leading to the death of one student who was stabbed by her fellow classmate in a Dunkin' Donuts nearby the school. In order to try to get updated on all of this, we've reached out to Robert Cox, publisher of Talk of the Sound. It's a local news site covering New Rochelle. And thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5, Robert.
Curtis, thanks for having me.
Now, I know New Rochelle has had its problems, but it's not Mount Vernon. It's not Yonkers. Could you explain how this problem started with the high school population and why they've had these packed meetings in which parents are ready to rip to shreds those who were in charge of the school system?
Well, we had a 8-day period where we had 3 very violent incidents, as you noted, one resulting in the death of a student at the hands of another. There was actually a total of 7 kids involved in that incident, chasing the one girl up and down the street for about 10 minutes. We had a gang of 7 kids attack another kid in a pizza joint not far away. That kid himself had previously been arrested and convicted for doing a stabbing when he was in middle school 2 years ago. And then that kid, the victim most recently, showed up at school last Thursday, and he ran into a classroom, stabbed another kid. He went into the wind, and he's still a fugitive. The police have a warrant out for him right now. So we've got, you know, utter chaos out here, and parents are rightfully concerned.
Now, It's a large high school with a large student population. There have been problems in New Rochelle before, but again, they pale in comparison to what's happened in Mount Vernon or Yonkers. But are there metal detectors there? Are there security personnel on the grounds of New Rochelle High School?
There are no metal detectors. There is a security staff. They do cooperate with the police. I think talking myself to a lot of those guys that are out in the hallways and around the buildings, that they feel their hands have been largely tied, that they feel the administration doesn't want to enforce the school district's own policies about things like a closed campus. And as a result, during the course of the school day, you have literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids leaving the school. Most of them are not bothering anybody. They're maybe going to McDonald's. But you got just enough that are out there doing drugs, engaging in physical altercations, harassment, strong-arm robberies. There's enough out there that people have been increasingly concerned, and this became an issue with this basically a closed campus, open campus issue. But then you had this, the stabbing death of this young girl a couple of weeks ago, and I think that just set everybody on edge. And then to have two more incidents follow within the week is just unbelievable.
Now, I've noticed that the policy was that the children going to New Rochelle High School would not leave the campus, especially during the time that they would normally have lunch. But yet it seems that many of them were. How did things get so lax?
Well, a new administration came in a few years ago, and they just unilaterally made a decision that they were not going to follow the school board policy, which, by the way, they have no right to do. And they just literally opened the gates of the school, and to the point where I was shocked at the beginning of this school year. I actually saw the principal and the head of security actually waving the kids goodbye as they went out into the streets of New Rochelle, totally encouraging them to go out and do whatever they wanted. I really can't explain it because I personally had conversations with many of these people. I live right there. I see it every day. And to my estimation, they really never did have a good answer. And now, but I think it was maybe a foreseeable tragedy has occurred with the 500 kids unsupervised out in the streets in the middle of the day every day. Eventually something's going to happen.
Sure, and I noticed, Robbie Cox, out of the many comments that were made by outraged parents yesterday at that school meeting, it seems they were implying there's a lot of racial tension in the one situation that resulted in the death of the young lady in the Dunkin' Donut. She was white, her assailant, her fellow classmate was black. But they kept alluding to this. So is this a problem in New Rochelle High School that there is clearly antagonism between whites and blacks who go there?
I'm going to say I'm probably the biggest critic of the New Rochelle school system. I cover it every day, and I would say that is actually one of the least of the problems that the school district has. No, that's not an issue. I think you had antagonism between some teenagers. I don't think race had anything to do with it. That's really not been a major issue in New Rochelle. I think what the major issue is that it's this implementation of policies that basically don't want to enforce the codes of conduct because they don't want to suspend kids because it doesn't look good on the record of the principal. They have a lot of suspended kids. That's a whole different ethos of how to run a school. In my view, it's not a very good one. And I think it's just a natural thing when you have, in our case, 3,400 kids in a very loosely supervised setting, some bad things are going to happen.
Well, you know that things have gone sour when the very vendors and merchants who make a lot of coin when the kids are allowed to leave school or leave the campus and come out for lunches and snacks, that obviously helps their top line. When they themselves are saying, no, we'd rather them stay in school because they come through our stores, whether it's Mickey D's, the Pizza Parlor, Dunkin' Donuts, sometimes like locusts through a cornfield, then that should be like the key signal that, whoa, you got to pull in the reins of these kids, because even the people benefiting from them leaving the campus, the merchants, are saying enough is enough.
Well, I think the main thing is you got to look at these are kids, right? 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old. They're kids, and kids need to be protected, including from themselves, from doing stupid things. Kids will do stupid things. You leave them out there unsupervised for 2 hours every day, don't be surprised when things go wrong. So to me, I look at the adults. Where are the adults in this? Where's the building principal? Where's the school superintendent? And now we've got an entirely new phenomenon, which is our local mayor, who has no role in the school district, has suddenly taken control of the school district unilaterally, and the school board seems to have given in. So administratively, our school district is in utter chaos.
Well, I certainly do appreciate your insight on this, Robert. We'll reach out to you for any updates. But, you know, there's a history at New Rochelle High School. Craig Carton, who obviously was teamed up with Boomer Esiason on the old WFAN morning show. As much as I hated Craig Carton, let's face it, they had a very successful show. But Craig Carton got caught up by the feds in scalping tickets and then getting investments for future ticket purchases and then spending the money. He's going to be going on trial soon. And then, who could ever forget, I think it was at the Borgata, Ray Rice, at the top of his game for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, he was a great back. Always a nice, pleasant guy, too, who can handle an interview without saying, you know what I mean, you know what I mean, you know what I mean. Went on, became a Scarlet Knight at Rutgers, and was a great contributor to the Baltimore Ravens, unlike Ray. I should have been convicted for manslaughter, Lewis, the middle linebacker. And then we saw that video of Ray Rice knocking out his wife and then dragging her off the elevator. And then Goodell mishandled that. And Ray Rice has since been washed out of the NFL. Nobody talks about him. It's always Kaepernick, Kaepernick. But think about it. Craig Carton, white. Ray Rice, black. They were like, I guess, the two most famous graduates of New Rochelle High School. Boy, they certainly went the bad route.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
In the drive at 5.
There are so many ways to do it.
On air, online, on the app.
That's unbelievable.
77 WABC.
As we continue on the drive home at 5. All eyes on the Southern District. Downtown Federal Courthouse, where Joe Pococo, wartime consigliere, leg breaker for Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, is on trial for shakedowns and extortions. But we have some breaking news.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
Dominic Carter, who was with me earlier today, 12 to 3, right here on WABC, ran down to the courthouse where he's reporting for RNN. If you get Fios One, check him out tonight, every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7. And he is saying that there was testimony today that when the feds raided the brand new home purchased by Joe Pococo with the ill-gotten gain along with his wife, that he engaged in a conference call with Governor Mario Cuomo as the raid was ongoing. Now, come on. He's attached at the hip to Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. And then while reading the old gray lady in the New York Times earlier today to see what their reportage was on yesterday's opening remarks and just giving us the ambiance of what was going on in the court, I noticed there was a guy outside. And there were court officers who were, like, giving him a hard time. He was a protester, Eric Weltman. And he had a great sign. It said, Cuomo, fix our corrupt state. And I told our producer here, Justin B. Love, get busy. Find Eric Weltman. And he did. Thanks for joining us, Eric, here on the drive home at 5.
It's a pleasure to be with you folks. Again, I'm Eric Weltman, and I work with an organization called Food and Water Watch, and we were there yesterday to send a message to Governor Cuomo that polluters shouldn't profit from bribing his administration. Prococo, as you may have read, helped win approval for a massive dirty power plant in Orange County that would burn fracked gas. It's a power plant built on bribes. It's a power plant built on bribes at a time when we believe New York needs to move off fossil fuels. And so we're demanding that Governor Cuomo revoke the plant's permits because this was a plant built on bribes to his administration, to his good buddy Joe Prococo.
Now, Eric Weltman, I noticed in the picture in the Times today, looked like the court orders officers of security were giving you a hard time. You were wearing your fedora. You had your sign proudly that you were showing. But it looks like they were preventing you from going into the court. Could you just explain?
I was chasing down Prococo, and what you can't see in the picture is I was looking at him, and he was looking at me, and I can tell you it was not a look of love. I've had in my run-ins with Prococo before. Food and Water Watch you know, we go up against, you know, all the powerful figures, whether it's, you know, big polluters or government officials, and we get the job done. And part of that involves, you know, being aggressive and going after, you know, powerful people and not being afraid to take them on. And so Prococo, at least he was powerful. He's certainly not anymore, but his old boss certainly still is. And what we're saying to Governor Cuomo is, if you're sincere about clean government and a clean environment, Governor Cuomo, you've got to revoke the permits for this dirty power plant and shut it down, because it's a power plant that was built on bribes.
Well, that's interesting, because that's at the heart of this particular trial. There are other trials coming up of Cuomoites, but his wife, Prococo's wife, was given, and they used some unique terminology here, which I had never heard before. They call it, in fact, it's not a no-show job, but it's a sometime job, in which she got $90,000 a year.
How would you like to get a job like that, man? That was a job that, you know, care of the one of the big executives of this power plant company called CPV, Competitive Power Ventures.
Mm.
And, you know, that's why we're saying, you know, this CPV plant in Orange County is dirty. You know, dirty in the sense that, it, you know, it's polluting, it would burn fracked gas, it would poison the community, it would cause climate change, but dirty in the sense that it was built on bribes, that, you know, Prococo greased the way for this plant to get its permits, and that as a consequence, if like we said, if Cuomo is sincere about being a champion of clean government and a clean environment, you know, Food and Water Watch is saying that, you know, he's got to revoke these permits and shut down this dirty plant.
Well, do appreciate that. Eric Weltman, we'll be checking in with him from time to time. This trial is expected to last anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. And it's interesting. Prosecutors claim that Mrs. Prococo was making $90,000 a year in what is described as a low-show job. What is a low-show job? I know what a no-show job is, but a low-show job. And it's a way to launder the money, because Prococo shook him down for $300,000. So she worked 3 years. So figure that out. That's like $270,000. Then they threw him some coin. And this way, they sweetened him up. But imagine, this is the breaking news from Dominic Carter. The fact is, when the feds were kicking in the door of his luxurious Ponderosa Westchester home that he had purchased with ill-gotten gain, he was on the phone in a conference call with Governor Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, as the raid was ongoing. What does that say about their relationship, huh?
The Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa.
On the air, on the app. Curtis Sliwa, live.
My boy Curtis Sliwa.
Local.
There's a guy in a red hat.
On it.
Everybody listens to Curtis.
77 WABC.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world. Of the world as we know it.
9:41 as we take you on the drive home at 5. And I feel like I got to be that St. Bernard up in the Swiss Alps for our next guest and friend here at WABC, Bill Ervolino. You know, with the rum jug around my neck, looking for skiers who are down for the count. Or in this case, somebody who can't seem to shake the cold and the flu that has invaded his veins and arteries. Am I right about that, Bill Ervolino?
No, I do not have the flu. I have a cold. I have a backache. I have a few things. I think everybody that gets the flu shot just has a list of everyone that didn't get it, and they want everybody. They're waiting for you to get the flu. No matter what you have, your foot hurts and your shower's broken, now it's the flu. I don't have the flu, but I don't feel good.
Yeah, so what are you taking? I mean, how long have you had the cold?
I made the powerful chicken soup today.
Oh.
With you know what I'm talking about? With with the garlic and the ginger and the Tide Pods, everything. I want the full strength chicken soup.
Well, you need that. That's the liquid penicillin. Now, did you use the Empire Kosher Chicken or the Purdue Oven Stuffer?
No, I use the Amish chicken.
Oh.
Which they deliver, you know, on horseback, so it takes a few days. Yeah. And, they sell the Amish chicken at the store, whatever it is. And, you know, it's not as good as my mom used to make, but whatever. I'm just doing my best here. I'm sick.
Yeah, so how long, though?
have you been sick?
No, I have had, well, just this, what I'm dealing with now just since Sunday, and I'm pretty much over it. It never got to the stomach thing, which I think the part of the flu thing is part of that, right? I mean, if you have the flu, that's you running to the bathroom and so on. Am I wrong?
Well, not only running to the bathroom and sitting on the porcelain palace, but oftentimes you get the cold shivers. You know, all of a sudden your feet are cold. Then a moment later, you're schwitzing out because you're hot, you're sweating, and you're like in this roller coaster ride where you feel like it's the end of the world.
Well, I did. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I had a heavy, thermal shirt on, and it was soaked.
Oh, then you should be drinking Tamiflu and having psychotic reactions.
I took that off, and I felt great, actually. I felt like whatever I had suddenly, like the exorcist, was out of my body and went into somebody else's body. Now, I felt pretty good since then, but I'm very uncomfortable with this medication stuff. But I'll tell you, the thing that, you know, I think you had read something that I wrote a couple of weeks ago about that this business about you're cold. It's cold outside, and that can give you a cold, like your mothers used to say.
Yeah.
There's actually some truth to that, and I thought it was a bunch of baloney. You know, I'd say to my mother, "You get a cold from germs, not from the cold." Ha ha ha. But actually, do you know about this? That if you because the cold slows down your immune system.
Yeah.
So if you're out in the cold,
Dr. Ervolino here.
If you're out, this was a Harvard study, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yale, Harvard or Yale, one of those things. It could have been Nassau Community College.
They probably ended up with pneumonia, right?
No, but it was one of those big ones. And they did it with mice, of course, because, you know, most of the people you know have mice somewhere in the family tree. But they said that, and they discovered that, and it's true with humans, too. Your immune system gets more sluggish, so you're more apt to be unable to fight off what rhinovirus, which is what goes into your nose. And then the other problem about the time of year is that when it's cold out, it's hot in the house, and you dry out. Your whole nostril thing dries out.
Bill, you understand, as an Italian, there are Italians and Jews, and you're plagued with big schnozolas.
Schnozolas.
Right, so the fact is you're going to have more of that mucus and more of that infection in your big nose, your schnozola, than other people would have.
It's true. It's true. And then the other thing about, you know, Jews and Italians have a lot in common. Chicken soup, we draw the line.
Mm.
You know, we like everything in the chicken soup.
Yes.
The Jews have, it's nothing in it. It's a, broth.
It's a broth, right?
Let me
ask you this. I'm surprised you didn't try the hot toddy, you know, hot tea with a little honey and naturally a lot of whiskey.
Well, I do that. And that's good for you. Garlic is good for you. Whiskey's good for you. Everything that you think is going to like burn you somewhere is good for you.
Do you put garlic cloves around your neck? Do you rub your body with garlic?
I like garlic. I make like a garlic in water. I just put like 8 cloves, boil it, put a little salt in it, pretend it's soup, drink it.
Oh, garlic soup. Bill Ervolino, Dr. Bill Ervolino, still plagued with a cold. But he's so cocksure of all of his remedies, and not one of them have freaking worked for him, right? But oh no, it's a Harvard, it's a Yale study. That's a double oofah, Bill.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
Beastie Boys, with a call into the night as we continue here in the Drive Home at 5 to the many demonstrators who had gathered outside of the brownstone of the schmuck, no make that to putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, and his suffering wife, Iris Wiesenthal. Hey, boy, does she suffer being with that egomaniac. But hey, that's her business. So last night, they're outside, they're banging their drums because they felt they had the shiv stuck in their back. Because to them, Chuck Schumer was like Judas. He had capitulated to the president when he was negotiating on raising the debt level for the country, but also working on making the DACA migrants whole. He said, I'll fund the wall. Oh, and that drew the hate the anguish and the ire of the demonstrators. If Trump won't let us free, we won't let Chuck sleep. Hey, good, good. That's a good chant. Good, good. Now, I'm listening to Michael Savage before us. You know, he's become this newfound Rebbe. You know, he's discovered religion, the atheist. And, you know, he's talking about his dog, a whole bunch of other things that I wasn't interested in. But this caught my attention at the beginning of the show. Who would have ever thought that the kid from Queens, who eventually moved to the Bronx, Michael Savage, would actually be supporting the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer.
You know, there's a right to free assembly and a right to free speech, but chanting outside a person's house while they're trying to sleep is not free assembly. Do you understand that they're violating Chuck Schumer's rights and his neighbor's rights? That is not peaceful assembly. That's a violation of the law. And I would arrest every last one of them with their damn drums and their feathers. I'd throw them all into a jail. That's what I would do. I'm so sick of this country catering to non-citizens. I'm sick of it. They don't belong here. And if you ever wondered why they're here, whether they belong here, whether they're peace-loving, go look at what they're doing to Chuck Schumer because he wasn't radical enough for them.
Go smoke a spliff. Calm down. Oh, my God. Defending Chuck Schumer. Oh, because he couldn't get a good night's sleep. Any elected official, anyone in politics, should be subject to having demonstrators out their house morning, noon, and night. They're supposed to be guardians of the money that we give them through our taxes. How can we say that that's true of Democrats or Republicans since they keep raising the debt level? And we know that it's going to be our children, more likely our grandchildren, who are going to have to pay for this craziness that we're involved in. And if you happen to have been true ideologues and really believed that Chuck Schumer was going to fight the building of this wall, then naturally he was un traditor. He was a Judas. It was the Ides of March. He stabbed you in the back. You should be out there, because if he would fold on the wall with Trump, and by the way, what a stupido he was to go into a meeting one-on-one with Trump from Jamaica Estates, Queens, the Brooklyn guy from Avenue R who's father was an exterminator. Nobody liked when he went to Madison High School, same high school that produced Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice, and the Alta Caca, Bernie Sanders. But the fact that he would go into that negotiation with Trump and then come out and say talking to Trump is like talking to Jell-O, what did he expect? So now all of a sudden he's become hardcore because of the demonstration. He goes, the wall is off the table of negotiation. We're not doing anything about chain migration or the visa lottery. Back to square one. But you saw that Chuck Schumer has no soul. His soul is tied to Wall Street and shaking down the hedge fund monsters to keep him in power. Chuck Schumer. That's right. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, the schmuck to putz, has no political ideology, no soul, and would fold like a cheap camera if he thought it would serve his best interest. So Democrats, liberals, and progressives out there know that Chuck Schumer is not going to give you tactical air support. And if offered a deal that helps Chuck Schumer, because that's all he's interested in, what's good for Chuck, he'll tell you, is good for you.